Well, hello, church. Good to be with you. It's a rainy day. I know we can feel a little tired coming to something at night after a long rainy day, but it's good to be with you here. I'm excited for tonight to be with you and just to be able to talk about this topic. We're continuing our Build Your House series, and I think it's been really good. The last 2 weeks, we've talked about marriage, and this week, we're shifting gears to parenting. Today we're going to be talking about laying a foundation for your kids, and I'm just so you know, I'm going to lean really heavily into that analogy, so just buckle up because it's going to come up a lot. I'll be focusing on the younger years of parenting. I have 4 kids, and my oldest is 9, so that's like uncharted territory past that, so we'll just be hanging 9 years and younger mostly this week. We're going to be talking about some like 30,000-foot view things, though, that I think in general are useful for all parenting or grandparenting or even just your own personal relationship with Jesus. We're going to be talking about building our foundation on Jesus, just like this series. It's obviously the theme of this series. The key verse is this verse that Jesus says in Luke 6. It says, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose and stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it was well built." So how can we take the words of Jesus in this verse and in throughout the Bible and instill those into our little tykes at home and in church? Really, it's a crucial season, those younger years, for shaping our kids for the future. And really, this is something we need as a church. On average, if you know this or not, we have about 180 kids that get checked into our kids' program each week. That's fifth grade and younger, so 180 kids each weekend. And just last week, if you remember, we dedicated 21 babies to the Lord. So like, this is the thick of it for our church. We have a lot of young families, and there's good truth that we need. I think it's an important topic that we keep talking about, keep being reminded about, that it's such a crucial time in kids' lives to be instilling good truth into their lives. And it's not things that we talk about in society. It's not things you'll ever hear about in society. And personally, for me, preparing for this talk, I was encouraged and convicted and challenged and reminded of a lot of good things that I need for my own parenting. So I hope the same will be said for you tonight. We need reminders. We need to hear things that we won't hear out in the world. So with that, before we dive in, I'm going to pray. I'd invite you to pray with me, and we'll ask God to reveal himself. Lord, we love you. We thank you for a chance to be together. We thank you for a chance to worship you in song and to just reflect on what you've done for us, Jesus. I thank you for that. I pray you'd help us as a church tonight, Lord. Would you help us to hear from you? Would you teach us? Would you give us things, Lord, whether we're parents or not, whether we're grandparents, whatever that may be, Lord, I pray that we would hear the truth of your word and that would change our lives, Lord. All of this is applicable to us because it's your word, no matter what. So just help us tonight, speak to us. We commit our time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this is my family. This is my tribe. Love these guys. My wife, Kelsey, and I got married 12 and a half years ago. Abel, the tallest one there, he's 9. Henry is 7, soon to be 8. Lewis is the awesome smile down there in the corner. He's 5, and Joan is 3, our only daughter. This is my world, and it's a joy to be with them and do life with them. I love having kids. I love being a dad. I'm passionate about being a dad. Each of my kids is unique in their own way, and they have quirks and things that they are stronger in than others and things they're weaker in than others. But the truth is said for all of us is that we're all sinners. My wife and I are sinners. My kids are sinners. We all need the love and grace of Jesus. We need training and discipline in our lives. Our kids need that, very much like my wife and I need that. Parenting is one of the hardest things I've ever done. It's refining in more ways than I ever imagined. It's revealed a lot of my own selfishness and pride and foolishness and just that I can be the biggest idiot in the world. And it's exhausting and stressful, but it's full of joy and fun. And you know, when you have kids, there's not really like a class you can take. There's no degree that you can take that's like, here, you're about to have a kid, so here's your certification. You know, I think obviously we all remember, if you're a parent, you remember the first time you held your child. This is a picture of me holding each one of my kids for the first time, and it's just amazing. It's like magical and yet terrifying at the same time. You know, when I remember being released from the hospital with Abel, our oldest, and it was like, here you go home, and you're just like, that's all? Now what? Like, you're not coming with us to our house and showing us how we do this. It's just like, here's the baby, get out. And I think in that moment, we can all relate to Michael Scott when he says, I knew exactly what to do, but in a much more real sense, I had no idea what to do, right? Guys, I could have fit like way more Michael Scott quotes in this. I tried. I really tried. Some of you are thankful, others are not, that I didn't fit those in. But we feel that way, right? If you're a parent, if you have been a parent, you know, like if you've had little kids, when your kids were born, you know what that was like. Many things you just have to learn along the way. And the truth is that we're given a lot of bad advice about kids, right? There's this like negative connotation about kids that we see in movies and media and in our society today. You know, these things we're told like kids hold you back. You know, you can't have as much fun when you have kids. Do some living before settling down. You know, it's like this idea that kids are just this giant bummer and negative. Is that what God thinks, though, of children? Is that what he thinks of parenting? No. Listen to this verse in Psalm 127. It says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. That's so good that, you know, the average age of having your first child is now 29 years old of age. That's a lot higher and has steadily increased over the last decade, and that continues to go up. So in our world, statistically, people are waiting longer and longer to have kids. And we also know statistically that people are having fewer kids. And it's just interesting to me. That's just like, it just seems a vast contrast from what we see in this verse, what we see of the truth of the Bible. God says, blessed are you to have kids young. Blessed are you to have kids and have lots of them. And I'm not saying that you have to do that, but I'm just saying this idea or even thought process in general, what we see in the world and what we see in the Bible is vastly different. And, you know, Kelsey and I were 23 and 24 when we had Abel. We were pretty young. Our 20s did not look the same like most people's 20s. And I'm not saying that that was right or wrong. I'm not making that judgment. I'm saying, though, in many ways, having kids younger for us forced us to grow up a lot quicker. It forced us to figure things out. And also probably personally saved me from a lot of foolishness that I would have done otherwise. So, it's just an interesting contrast there for what we see in the Bible. Before we start to look at the foundation we're laying for our children, I want to ask you a question. Those of you that have little kids, since that's what we're talking about, or maybe you're about to have kids, I want you to think about this. What do you want your children to be known for? There's an awful lot of things we can be known for, right? Or our children can be known for. And things that we strive for, like academics, sports, music, achievements, scouts, whatever those things may be. Maybe you have a goal for your kids to do great things like play badminton in the Olympics. I don't know. That's an Olympic sport. Did you know that? Maybe that's you. Maybe you think, I want my kid to graduate from an Ivy League school. I want them to make tons of money, to give me money so I can retire early. Whatever that may be. Or maybe your bar is like super low for your kids and you're just hoping they move out before they're 40. That's a real thing today, guys. Like, that's people's goals. Whatever our end goal is, we have to be thinking about that. What is that end goal for you? Can you answer that? What ultimately are you shooting for in your parenting? We have to keep that in mind, and that's our first point tonight, is that we need to have the finished product in mind in our parenting. Raising children can be a lot like construction of a home, right? It's a long process. There's so many details. It takes a long time, but you have to start someplace. And in the younger years of our kids' lives, we have to keep in mind that we're building a house, not just pouring a slab of concrete, right? Is this all we're seeking for? Like, that's good enough. We have little tykes, and that's great. No, the end goal, we have to keep that in mind of what we're aiming for. We have to remember that each and every choice we make while they're young, and as they grow and even once they're out of the house, each and every choice we make every day, we can choose what kind of parents we're going to be. We can choose, are we going to train and disciple our kids for a lasting impact on their future? Having that future in mind will inform many decisions we make today and we make tomorrow and we make next week. And in this analogy of laying a foundation, there's only a limited amount of time when you're working with concrete that you can form it, right? And you can mold it before it begins to harden. And then you can't make those changes without some honestly difficult things happening, right? It's a lot more difficult once the concrete is set. And in the same way for our kids, what an opportunity we have when they're young and they're moldable and they're learning to instill godly values into their life. We have a limited time with our kids at this precious age. And so as we keep that in mind, I think it's important that we seek to train lifelong followers of Christ. We want to raise our kids to be a good godly influence, right, in their neighborhoods, in their workplace, in their cities. We want the light of Jesus to shine from their lives into this dark world. So we have work to do to train them to do that, to instill them, to teach them, to train them, instruct them. Some valuable verses here. If you don't know these, you should memorize these. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6 says that. And Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So this is our charge as parents, biblically, to train our kids in the ways of the Lord. There's so many other good things that we can teach them and train them. We have to do those, some of the practicals. Yeah, education is good. Healthy habits is good. Sports and extra activities. All those things can be valuable and have their place, but how are all of those things being funneled into this idea of training our kids in the instruction of the Lord? Can we answer that? Is there value in those things that, yes, that is serving a purpose in instructing our kids about the Lord? Because ultimately, what does God want from our offspring? What does he want? He says it in Malachi 2:15. He says, what was the one God seeking? It is godly offspring. That is his desire from us in raising our children. If we train our kid to become the richest, most successful person in the world, yet we neglect to point them to Jesus and the truth of the Bible, we have to ask ourselves, did we really do our job as a parent? For us, for my family, for my wife and I, we've made decisions that are for us about how are we going to train our children. What is that going to look like? For us, we've made the decision for my wife to stay home, and we homeschool. And please hear me, I'm not telling you you have to do that. I'm not saying if you don't do that, that your kids will be less godly or my kids will be more godly. That's the choice we've made for my family. But we had to make that choice. Each family has to seek the Lord about how are they going to do that. And for us, yes, we educate our children, yes, but education itself is not the most important thing in my home. I tell my wife that all the time when we're talking about school. It's like my end goal is not to make sure my kids are the smartest in the world. My end goal is to make sure that they love Jesus, that they know Jesus, that they know who he is. Ultimately, that's between them and the Lord. But my ultimate goal is that my wife would be around them as much as possible to instruct them, to mold them, to teach them, to make sure that those values are being taught, that when life is hard and schoolwork is hard and they don't want to do it, that they're persevering because Jesus tells them to, that they have a good attitude about what they're doing. And I want that supervision from us as parents as much as humanly possible. Again, you have to make that choice for you. There's no judgment in that, but for us, that is the choice that we've made. And you know, sure, I want them to learn to read and write, but that's not the end all be all. So for you, whether both parents work, whether you homeschool or you do public school, whether you're a super Christian who sends your kids to Awana or not, what is it that you are aiming for your kids? And are you working towards those things, especially in the younger years? Are you setting up a foundation for your kids, for their life to be built on? The next thing we have to keep in mind is we should be seeking to lay a foundation that will remain for generations. We want this to last. We want the fruit of our life and our labor to last for generations, Lord willing. Again, if you had a house that has a bad foundation, if the foundation cracks or there's no foundation at all, it is possible, yes, to put a house on stilts and lift it up and to build a foundation that's doable. It's a whole lot easier, though, to do it when there's no house, right? And it's a lot more headache to do it this way. God is faithful and he can help us if we've missed that opportunity, if we've set a bad foundation. But for those of us that do have young kids, let's not miss the opportunity to work hard to set the foundation right now. I want to instill to my kids that living for Jesus is worth giving their whole life for. I want them, if they have kids one day, for them to do the same, to raise their kids in that same way, a solid foundation that goes from generation to generation. Look at these verses in Deuteronomy. It talks about, verse 8 and 9 on the screen here, talks about not forgetting God's great decrees for his people and passing them on your children and your grandchildren. That's so important. But then verse 10 says this, never forget the day when you stood before the Lord your God at Mount Sinai, where he told me, summon the people before me and I will personally instruct them. Then they will learn to fear me as long as they live, and they will teach their children to fear me also. So that's God's heart. That was his heart for Israel. That's his heart for us, for his people now. What are we teaching our kids is most important in life? What are you teaching? What am I teaching my kids is most important in my life? Are we teaching that our jobs are more important than being together as a family, or more important than being involved in church? Are we too busy to talk about Jesus at home? Are we on our phone too much? Are we only interested in our hobbies that we don't take the time to play with our kids, to talk about Jesus, to love them, to hug them, to squeeze their cheeks? Whatever that may be, what are we teaching our kids is most important in life. They are watching and seeing what is most important. They're connecting the dots. They're saying, Dad says this, but what he does isn't what he says. So are our actions lining up with our words, with our children? What are we communicating to them that our life is built on? We have this great task of laying a good foundation in our kids' lives. And we are, ultimately, we are just a tool in God's hands, right, to shape and form our kids. Paul David Tripp said this. This won't be the first epic mustache, by the way, that you see it on the screen. But he says this, nothing is more important in your life than being one of God's tools to form a human soul. Your job as a parent is to be God's tool for the purpose of forming the image of God's son in your children. This is so important. That's our job, is to be a tool in God's hand, not just to make sure they stay alive and then let them figure out what God says. Our job is to shape them that the image of God might be in our children, right? Our next point, we need a biblical blueprint. The truth of the matter is, again, that we hear a lot of garbage advice about parenting in our world. A lot of those parenting tools that we hear in magazines and TV and podcasts and blogs and books and all those things that you can just throw in the garbage. We hear a lot of things that are just in complete opposite of what the Bible says. And the truth is, if you're about to lay a foundation for a house, you need a blueprint, right? If you try to do it without a blueprint, something's going to go wrong. It's not going to be good. And God, as a gracious Father, has given us a blueprint, which is right here in the Bible. We need to stick to the greatest parenting book that there is. We need to read it. We need to let it guide our lives personally. We need to let it guide our parenting. We need to read it with our kids. We need to teach them what this book has to say. The Bible is full of truth for parenting. The book of Proverbs, I'm sharing tons of verses from Proverbs. It's a treasure trove of parenting knowledge. You should read it every day to hear, what does God say for my parenting? How can I teach them about Jesus? The Bible is our greatest parenting book that we can have. And we need the book that is from our good Father that will guide and teach our kids about life, and about their heart, and about their emotions, and about their gender, and about their love, and about their feelings and what is good and what is pleasing and what is ultimately going to lead to their destruction, because they will not hear anywhere else. We need to hand them what God says and say, no matter what the world around you tells you, this is what Jesus says. We have to know this book. We have to have it. It needs to be in our tool belt. Will we allow God's word? Will you allow God's word to be an authority in your life? Will it be an authority in your parenting? Will we follow what it says? Or will we say, that's not for me? That might be for others. God didn't intend that for me. I don't like that. This book is for all of us. We need it. Our kids need it. We all need the truth of the gospel so desperately. Our kids need the gospel, and so do we. We need to model to our children that they need Jesus. We need to remind them of their sin, not in a condemning way, but in a loving way. And we need to point them to the person who can deal with their sin, who has dealt with their sin. We need to teach them that we're all sinners in need of a Savior, and that God has placed us as parents to train them and discipline them and point them to the truth. We need to see, ultimately too though, we need to be aiming for our kids' hearts, not just for their behavior, right? So much of the time we can just get so caught up on whether they obey in an instant, and their heart could be so far from us. This is what Paul's brother says. I think they just like have family battles about their mustache, but Ted Tripp says this: you must address the heart as the fountain of behavior and the conscience as the God-given judge of right and wrong. The cross of Christ must be the central force of child rearing. We can teach our kids to learn what is happening in their sinful hearts. We can teach them what's happening in our sinful hearts. We can be real about that. We can repeatedly show our kids what it means to repent, what it means to seek after reconciliation, what that looks like. We can be a good example of what it means to live under the gospel with our children, with our spouse, with others. Our kids see that if we live that out. When we sin in front of them or we sin against them, are we quick to seek forgiveness, to apologize, to humble ourselves? Will we show them our need for Jesus? Proverbs 6 says this: my son, obey your father's commands and don't neglect your mother's instruction. Keep their words always in your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, their counsel will lead you. When you sleep, they will protect you. When you wake up, they will advise you. For their command is a lamp and their instruction a light. Their corrective discipline is the way to life. This is so important that we are constantly talking about the gospel with our kids. That God has given us a way out of our sin. He's given us a way out of our crummy feelings. He's given us a way out of our wrong thinking. He wants to help us. He wants to come alongside of us. And we can constantly instruct our kids, listen to this, do this. It will help you. It will be a protection in your life. That's the point of God's structure and protection, right? It's not just for structure. It's not just to hold us in a box. God wants to give us structure and protection for our good. And in turn, we want to do that for our kids. I want to protect you. I want to say no to you so that it'll protect you. I want to turn you to what is true, even if you don't feel like that is true, for your own good. It makes me think of these verses. For our own hearts, we need this. Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And Psalm 18, for it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. The truth of the gospel is that Jesus came to bring light into the darkness of our own hearts, right? And we have to, in turn, teach our kids that's what they need. They need Jesus to light up the darkness inside of them. The third thing we need in following having a biblical blueprint is we need to welcome inspections from godly counselors. Again, I'm leaning into this analogy real hard. A lot of the application for these things for parenting is it can be unique to each scenario, each family, right? We have different flavors and traditions in our home. We have different standards, right? We have different things that some of us are okay with. Some of us are okay with letting our kids jump on the couch and scream queen right at the top of their lungs. Others don't do that. Maybe that's just my home. Regardless, we have to seek the Lord about what he is leading our family to do, right? And in doing so, if I may, as your brother, as your pastor, I would encourage you, please allow somebody into your life to speak into your life, to inspect your parenting, not in a condemning way, not in a shameful way, but in somebody who you can trust, who is godly, who believes the values that you believe found in the Bible, that can come into your heart or into your life, into your home and say, hey, I see this here. Maybe this could be a concern for you. And that you would seek the Lord, that you would pray, that you would read his word, that you would talk with your spouse, that you would seek the Lord as a family and say, is that something we need to change? We need a godly counselor. We need inspectors in our home that would say things even that we don't like, even things that we don't want to hear. We all need it. I need it. That's for sure. Listen to these verses. Proverbs says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Again, Proverbs 20:18, plans are established by counsel, but by wise guidance wage war. And Proverbs 11:14, in abundance of counselor there is victory. That is one of my life verses. I am a fool in every part of my life. And I need people who love me enough to say, stop it. Don't do that. Change. Jesus has better. We need that, man. We can lean on God's way and understanding, not our own. In this way, we need to ask others to help us. We need people that will come and look and give honest input about whether we're following that biblical blueprint that we sought to lay, right? Nobody likes an inspector, right? Doug knows nobody likes an inspector. They come in and they pick apart your work and they say, that's wrong, you gotta fix that. We need that though, right? You don't want the electrical being wrong and like having your house burned down. We need somebody in our parenting to say, that's gonna cause some damage down the road. Don't talk to your kids that way. Or you need to train them in this. Or you need to love them more. Or you need to discipline them more. Whatever it may be, are there people in your life that you trust enough to say those difficult things? And the funny thing is, you know, I want my kids to be teachable. Right? Like when I'm trying to instruct them. And then the truth is that they see me not be teachable. Like I just completely contradict myself so much of the time, right? It's like I had that the other week. If I want to train my kids and have them be teachable, I have to show them what that means. A couple weeks ago, I'll be honest, coming into this talk, I knew I was talking about parenting. And the last couple weeks, I've just literally felt like somebody else should give this talk, truthfully. Yeah, and a couple weeks ago, you know, to be honest with you, I got frustrated with my oldest son. I let my anger get the best of me, and my wife and I had a disagreement on how I should have handled that situation, and it came up again. And each time I was like, no, I got it, I'm good. No, I'm controlling myself, I said sorry, I apologized, I dealt with it, I calmed down, I talked to him, we worked it out, he forgave me. And she's like, why aren't you just letting me help you in this? And it's like, no, I'm good, I got it, you know? And my kids would see it, she'd come and they'd just see dad be a complete fool in front of the kids and not accepting mom's help. And, you know, and she's like, maybe you should talk to somebody about it. I'm like, no, I don't want to talk to anybody about this. And I sat by myself and thought, I don't want to talk about this because I don't want anybody to know. I don't want somebody to know that I get angry at my kids. So next time I had coffee with Mac, I was like, hey, just so you know, here's how this is going. I don't want to tell you this. And it was good because he loved me, encouraged me, and told me to stop it, and told me you're doing good in some other areas. And so we need people in our corner. And our kids, and then I was able to go home and say, kids, I have not been teachable. I've been a hypocrite. I've been telling you to stop. And I have not stopped. We need our kids to see us be teachable if we want them to be teachable. So, with that, the third point tonight is we need to be faithful in the details. Every day, every decision affects the type of foundation we are setting for our kids. Are we cutting corners? Are we being lazy in the details? Are we saying that corner, the foundation, doesn't really matter? Even for our younger kids, the truth is we need to hold a higher standard for them. Little tykes, we can have a higher standard for those kids than the world does. Michelangelo said it this way: the greatest danger of most of us lies not in setting our aim too high and failing short, but in setting our aim too low and achieving our mark. Our society just has such a low standard for kids. Like thinking kids throwing tantrums in the grocery store is just the cutest thing. Or if they throw a tantrum, just ignore them. Just let them scream it out. And then when they're good, they'll stop, you know, and everything's great. Don't say no to your kids, you know. Just leave them by themselves. Let them give into their fully into their sinful way. And when they stop, then they'll be good. They'll teach themselves how to get out of that. Did you know you can be the parent? Did you know you can stand up to your kids and say, stop. No, do not fuss. You need to stop. Yes, it's okay to be sad. Yes, it's okay to have those emotions and those feelings. But right now you're controlled by your emotions. Stop. No fuss. We can teach our kids. I started teaching my kids that at 12 months. No. Stop. You can be the parent. I'm enabling you to stand up to your children in the loving, training way. Instruct them. Have a higher standard. One of my sons, when he was like 4 or 5, would just this fit of rage and scream and punch often. And my wife and I, like, we can't have this happen anymore. Like, he's punching kids in children's church. This can't happen. And it took work, and it took a lot of determination, it took a lot of trying again, and a lot of discipline, and a lot of training, and a lot of talking, and a lot of love and hugs and saying, you're normal, you're okay. Guess who you learned that from, buddy? Me. You're good, buddy, but this has to stop. It was our job as parents to stand up and say, this is enough, this behavior is not okay. We love you enough to help you overcome this. And it took a lot of time. And yes, the truth is he still does it sometimes, just like I still do it sometimes. But there's been a lot of real progress. When we ask our kids to do something, we can expect them to obey. We can tell them, come, and expect them to come. And again, am I perfect in this? Absolutely not. This last few weeks has been like, yep, I fail there, I fail there, I fail there. We can teach our kids to sit. We can teach them to sit and pay attention. We can teach them to look in our eyes. We can be the parents and set the standard, not have our kids set the standard. We need to charge our children with the life and blessing that comes from obeying and honoring mom and dad. Proverbs 1:8 says, "Hear my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck." Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. We can train our kids and instruct them with a high standard because we want it to go well with them. We want a long, beautiful life for them. We don't want destruction and sin in their lives. Even if others around us, other families, other people, your neighbors, don't hold that standard, you can. My kids notice all the times the things that they don't get to do that others around them get to do. And we just tell them, sorry, that's the way it is. They may, we may not. They're going to do that. We're not going to. Sorry, kids, that's not what our family does. You know, like, honestly, I could not care less about what the world thinks about me and my family. We drive a 1998 Astro van, if that tells you anything. I don't care what people think when they look at my family. The few trusted counselors, godly counselors, those inspectors, if they walk into my life and say, hey, this is a problem, I will listen to them. I will. I'll turn right around. I'll sell my van, my dream car. But if anybody, I don't care. I just don't care. I couldn't care less. This is the way my family's going to do it. This is the way the Lord's leading me and my wife, and we've gotten godly counsel, and we're going to continue in this way. You can do that. You can set the standard for your family. Again, we're not perfect in that, so just please know that we fail. I need God's grace so much. To end, I just want to give a few practicals. There's not many here, but some practicals that can help us uphold the standard. You know, we've talked a lot about these big ideas, but again, in a day-to-day aspect, that's why godly counsel comes in, because there's things you're not going to see. But in general, we can look at what the Bible says, which the first thing is that we can discipline and train our children. We'll focus first on discipline here real quick. This is an important aspect of our parenting, especially for the younger years. We need to teach our kids, just like we have to learn, that sin and disobedience has a consequence. Listen to these verses in Proverbs 22. It says, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him." Hebrews 12:6, "The Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son." So if you are God's son, he disciplines you. We, in turn, are given that tool in our tool belt for our children. It's not the only tool, but it is one of them. As we talked about earlier, we want to teach our kids there's consequences to sin. We as adults have to learn that. When we choose to sin and give in to our flesh desires, we have a consequence, and our kids need to see that as well. They need to know that God loves us. Absolutely. Amen. Tell them all the time, every single day, God loves you more than you could ever imagine. Tell them until they're nauseous of it. Tell them all the time, God loves you. He loves you. I love you. But also tell them God loves you enough to correct you. When my son was blowing up in anger, he learned there was a consequence for going into his anger and his sin. But there was a lot of love. There was a lot of hugs. There was a lot of wiping away tears. There was a lot of smothering my kid with love and affection. There was a lot of talking. A lot of talking about the gospel, that Jesus forgives him. A lot of pointing him to Jesus. But there was also the tool that the Bible has given us of disciplining our children. Proverbs 13:24 says this, "Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them." Proverbs 19:18, "Discipline your children, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to their death." Do you love your kids? We need to love our kids enough to discipline them. Specifically, what the Bible is talking about here in Proverbs is the idea of physical discipline, not angry, out of control, spiteful, abusive discipline that just has no left or right and no reason. The Bible talks about under control, loving, calm, restorative discipline. That is how God disciplines us. A consequence and discipline for our sin that hurts enough to help us have a change of heart. Hebrews 12 talks about this, how God disciplines us as his children and whom he loves. He says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." There's a lot of practicals that we don't have time to go into. Again, godly counsel, I would encourage you to go there. But let me just point you to a great resource on the back of your handout. There's a workshop, parenting workshop that we did in 2015, I think it was, by Steve Nelson. And he gave a great session that was called Love and Discipline. I'd encourage you to listen to the whole workshop, but that one in particular, Love and Discipline, he gives some very useful, practical breakdowns of what that would look like. But I wanted to give one snippet that I think it's important for us to understand. There are three keys to successful discipline. It needs to be consistent, it needs to be immediate, and it needs to be memorable. It's not fair to our kids when they disobey for us to sometimes ignore it and then the next time blow up at them and then yell at them and then the next time just say, no big deal. It's not fair to them. The most loving thing that we can do is to be consistent in immediately addressing disobedience. Again, a biblical discipline that we're talking about, it's under control, it's consistent, it's not arbitrary, but it comes from a place of love. And it's okay if you disagree with me on this. That's totally fine. I didn't write the Bible verses that we talked about that say those things. God did. So you can take it up with him. But I'm happy to talk about this with anybody that has questions. If you disagree, you can write me an email. We can talk in the lobby after. I'm happy to talk about those things. But I would love to point you to some more resources that talk about what the Bible, what God's word has to say in that area. Moving on, our last point is we can train our children. We discipline and train our children. A huge key in being able to instruct our kids is training. Even before we get to the discipline, we can train them. We spend a lot of time training our kids in our home. How to sit still in a chair or on a blanket. How to respond when they get hurt by their sibling to come find us instead of punching back. How to behave in public. We have conversations all the time coming to church. Kids, we're not going to run in the lobby. Kids, you need to stay by us. Again, are they perfect? No. We address that. But there's a lot of training, a lot of conversation, a lot of practice of like, hey, when I say come, come to me. Let's practice that. Come. Good job. There's a lot of affirmation. There's a lot of training. We can expect our children to obey, and in our home, we expect them to obey quickly, cheerfully, and completely. It's not just the obedience, it's their heart. It's taking their emotions and saying, I will obey with a cheerful heart. We don't just train their behavior. We want them to speak kindly, to not fuss, like I said. Again, they're not perfect. But I just have a question. Are you going to allow God's word to dictate your behavior as parents? Are you going to allow God to speak into your parenting? As we conclude, our world is preaching to our kids constantly, right? In media, through their friends at school, whether wherever it may be. And we have to have our voice be louder than the voice of the world, right? We need to train our kids in a louder voice than the world is training them. If we don't train and discipline our children, the world will. One day they will, and it will not be as nice and loving and caring as their parents were. So to end, I just wanted to read one verse. I guess it's a few verses. But from Deuteronomy, I think it's important just talking about how we constantly need to train our kids, train our families, be talking about it in our homes, God's goodness. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and all your strength. You must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you are on the road, when you're going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them to your forehead as reminders. Write them on your doorposts and your house and on your gates. That's God's heart for us in parenting, that we would constantly be talking about the truth that is found in this word, in his word, a biblical blueprint that we would instill and lay a godly foundation for our kids. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for a chance to look at your word and to look at what you have to say. God, I pray you'd give us courage as parents. Lord, would you give us courage as a church to uphold your standard, what your word says? God, not to just take our cues from the world and see how we feel about that, Lord, but to funnel everything through your biblical truth, your lens, Lord. Would you help us have kids that love you, raise kids that love you and that honor their parents? Would you help us to lay a foundation that would remain for generations, Lord, that our kids would love you and that their kids would love you and their kids would love you, Lord? That's our heart. Would you help us? Give us grace. Help us to admit when we fail in that. Ask for help when we need help. Lord, we need your grace ultimately, Lord. So we love you. We just thank you for this time, and we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.